This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
John Farnham has lent his song You're the Voice to the Yes campaign for the Voice referendum. However, he has since been the recipient of, at times, some nasty comments by some of the no voters. And just by the title, the song seems like a perfect match for the referendum, but it was originally written for another campaign. And here to chat to us about this is Peter Tregear, Principal Fellow and Professor of Music at the University of Melbourne. Peter, it's good to have you back on Drive.
It's always a pleasure.
Now, Peter, who originally wrote You're the Voice and why did they write it?
It was a team competition as a number of, that's not that uncommon, I think, in the commercial music scene, but actually some pretty significant names in the business nonetheless. It was the original idea was a guy called Chris Thompson, who was the lead singer in a Manfred Mann's Earth Band, if those of you who recognise that. But he wrote it also with Andy Quanta from, of course, was a keyboardist, I think, in Ice House, and Maggie Ryder, and they were also writers in his music publishing company. But it was Chris Thompson who got the idea going, and the lovely story about this is that the day they met to do a sort of songwriting workshop, this would have been in October 1985, it was also the day that the campaign for nuclear disarmament was holding a march through the centre of London. And Chris was keen to go, but I guess like all, anyone working in the music business will appreciate this, is not a morning person. and slept in and felt so sort of guilt-ridden about this that he thought, well, actually, I'm going to write a song about the need to sort of stand up and take personal responsibility for political change. And that was the key that got the song going.
And it's absolutely an amazing song. How did it end up being on John Farnham's album, Whispering Jack?
Wow. Well, that's for the Ice House connection, because Thompson did a sort of a demo cassette, would have been a cassette in those days, gosh, and it wended its way to Australia. And Farnham, of course, was, I think, working on the beginnings of what, of course, would be the Whispering Jack album, which transformed his career. And he was, I mean, quite shamelessly looking for a hit. And I understand there was a conversation held amongst musicians and said, I think this might be your hit. And he heard the tape and basically then decided, yes, it was, and then had a negotiation with Thompson and the other writers about getting the rights to perform it. But Farnham's astuteness, recognising both the power of the song and also how that it would help him reframe his own career in the public sense, because it's obviously, you know, it's a ballad, power ballad, rock ballad, from somebody who, to a fault, had been in the sort of public's eye as a sort of a singer of sentimental pop ballads, like, of course, Sadie the Cleaning Lady.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And he did actually, this is where he also made the shift from Johnny Farnham to John Farnham. So even the name changed. And it was, and on the Whispering Jack album, this was a standout number. But of course, it also, it struck a moment, didn't it? I mean, this is, and for those of us who are old enough to remember the 1980s well, that of course was a great era of collective protest and action. And I think, also a moment of some positivity in that space around the potential for significant social change, and of course with the pressing issue then being nuclear disarmament. But Thompson's cleverness, I think, and the lyrics' is cleverness, is that it really is about making your voice heard. That's what it's about, and whatever the issue, it's making your voice heard. Now, of course, you can see that in the wonderful conjunction with a referendum around a voice to Parliament. And I think, in my view anyway, I mean, is the brilliance of this association with his ad is not just, of course, that it's about that, but that it's quite explicitly saying that the voice to Parliament isn't just a voice about and concerning 3% of the population that are Indigenous. It's actually about all of us. It's actually a decision made by all of us that is about all of us and should concern all of us, which I arguably, if you're running the Yes campaign, that's the sort of idea that you really do need to get across if you're going to motivate people to, you know, because I think we're all by nature conservative when it comes to changing master documents like the Constitution, that we have to sort of step up and say, yes, this is a time to take to have some personal agency and make a change. Which, of course, in the Yes campaign, is they would absolutely see as a change for the better, a change that actually helps the country own up to its own history, but also look to the future in a much more positive light.
We're chatting with Peter Tregear, Principal Fellow and Professor of Music from the University of Melbourne, about John Farnham's 1986 hit single, You're the Voice, and it's linked to the Voice to Parliament referendum. Peter, I watched the commercial today that the track has been put together with, and when you watch it, it does invoke a lot of emotion and I suppose pride as what we have achieved as a nation. What do you think of the pairing of the song with the commercial? Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. And in fact, it was when I saw it on Sunday night when it was sort of first publicly released, I sort of was motivated to write the little piece I wrote for the Conversation website, precisely because I was moved by it, and you know, this is when we wear an academic hat. I kind of think, okay, why? You know, you want to ask the question, why? What is it about the song and what is it about that particular pairing that does make it moving? I think in part too, we're in a sort of time and an age where we're sort of, you know, pounded by a lot of negativity about whatever your political views, whatever you think about the referendum. But these things tend to be negatively framed. We're in a time of, you know, global economic stresses, of climate emergency and so on. It is actually good to be reminded that there is another track going on in historic thinking, that actually Australia as a country, for all its faults and God knows, you know, the mistakes that we've made, and again, whatever your particular political views, we've got a lot that actually we should actually take a moment and saying, yeah, this country's got a lot right too. I mean, I said in the piece, and I do think it was a bit of a strategic brilliance of the ad, was to combine that great line in the song, you know, we're all somebody's daughter, always somebody's son, why do we look at each other through the barrel of a gun, and put that with an image from John Howard's response to the Port Arthur massacre. Because, you know, that was an act by a Conservative government in an area where globally, particularly in the Anglophone world, there's been actually a massive resistance to the country saying, you know, we can actually do better in that particular space. And there was a lot of resistance and a lot of protest, but we did make a change for the better. And it did come from, politically speaking, something that I think that had its critics across the political spectrum, but ultimately was owned by the country. And I think it's worth reminding of that, because I think if this thing is going to get through, and you know, I also, you know, fully respect the people that will vote no for very legitimate reasons, but I have to declare that I'm somebody that think this is the right thing for the country to do, is to say yes to this proposal, that's going to come through, because fundamentally we'll see it positively. We'll see it as something that actually is something that we should feel good about as a nation.
Definitely. I'm fascinated though why, I suppose, devoted John Farnham fans are turning against him, just because they don't agree with him lending the song to the campaign. And I feel like, shouldn't music be bringing us together rather than dividing us into polar opposites? And you know, I'm sad that, you know, whichever way you choose to vote, and I declare I am a yes voter as well, but we've lost the art of respectable national debate. You know, the opposite view, I suppose, has become so threatening that we are prepared to say, you know what, some comments say this artist is completely dead to me. You know, they're really nasty, strong comments to someone who, you know, has just had surgery for cancer in the last 12 months, has recovered from that, who contributed to Australian music, had this amazing hit. I mean, let's not turn against someone just because they've got an opposing view.
Look, I think that's exactly right. I guess I have to make two comments about that. One, which is probably related, really, which is that I think one of the reasons why the reaction has been strong from certain corners, and I think we all should remember that the problem with our age and social media is that you can be have an extreme view and get that view capture a lot of attention than ways that probably, you know, 20 years ago, the extremes views found it very difficult to be heard. Ironically, when we're talking about, you know, voices. My view on that is that that's a significant recognition of the very power of this piece. That there is an instinctive recognition from those that are implacably opposed to a yes vote, that they recognise that this presents them with a big problem. That, in other words, we have to, again, the irony's not lost on me, but we kind of have to shout this song down and this connection down. I also think that they have, and this often happens, of course, in particularly in music, that we kind of forget its original context. I mean, it's pretty hard to read the lyrics of this song, and indeed Farnham's performance of this, and not realise that it is a bit of a call to arms. It's telling us, wake up, take personal responsibility. In other words, it will threaten people that just don't want to think beyond, you know, if you like, their narrow, comfortable sense of themselves and where they are. And I say that regardless of whether ultimately they vote yes or no. I just think that this is a song about taking personal responsibility. Even if we then choose to away for a different outcome in terms of the referendum, I don't think we should be criticising or critiquing the fact that this is a work of art, frankly, that actually makes us think that way. I think we're all better off for it. So, yeah, I think it is disappointing, but I guess one way to flip it back is to say, I think that's the very fact of that reaction points to the very power of this song.
Peter, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive today.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. That is Peter Tregear, Principal Fellow and Professor of Music at the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.